And David is a little bit in distress right now, just like some of us today. We're in a little bit of distress. Some of us are in a lot of distress. But when we're in distress, what is it that we do? I want to take you through a perfect example of what somebody did when they were in distress. I want to take you through their whole mindset when they were in distress, what they were thinking. Realizing that when you're thinking and you're going through situations, that's when you should be putting on your praise music. You should be reading your Bible. You don't need to be looking at those reality shows on TV. You need to focus your attention on the positiveness and the goodness and the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't always easy to do because that's unnatural for you. The natural thing is to sit in the mess, discuss it on the phone with somebody, or somebody calls you up because they want to mess with you and discuss it with you. Namely, those people call friends. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Never let me be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the traps that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I was dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you, but let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silent, for pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his love. When I was in a city under siege, in my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Let the Lord love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserved those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We ask you to bow your heads. Father God, this morning as we come to you, Lord, we give you praise and honor. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day, allowing us to come another Sunday, Lord, to praise you and to worship you. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you use me like a tool, that you speak to me and through me in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that somebody in here today is reached through your word. Somebody leaves differently than the way that they came in. Father, let us be receptive to what it is that you have to say and embrace your goodness and your mercy today. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. Amen. So when we look at this psalm, David opened up this psalm with a prayer of deliverance from a trap that has been set for him by his enemies. Realizing what he has said here, the enemy sets up traps for us. So when we get in a situation and we don't know how we got in it, it might not be something that you did. It was a trap that was set by the enemy. David has set me free from this trap of the enemy. Deliver me from this trap. He asked to be led and guided by God, even for the sake of God's name. We are children of the Most High. Think about your own children. We are children of the Most High, and for his name's sake, he will not let a lot of negative things happen to us. And in the midst of it, regardless, he's always there with us. So David writes in verse 6, in verse 3, he says, since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Without children. Okay, my last name is Boone. So when they go to school or they go somewhere, for the sake of my name, I guide them and I lead them and I teach them. David is saying, God, I'm your child. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. When you're in a situation, you can say, my God, for the sake of your name, I'm your child. Lead me and guide me. You can ask him that because that is your father. God's name is God's honor and it is at stake. Realizing this, when we get into situations and the world is looking at you and say, where is your God now? You can turn and say, God, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. And God is going to lead you and guide you. But see, we don't look at that relationship that we have with the Father that way. God is God. And when he says he's going to lead you and guide you, you have to trust in him. We should not have faith that is wavering, because the enemy is looking to see if your faith is going to waver one way or the other. And when your faith wavers, oh, the attack is on. If you ever seen fighters, before they get ready to fight, they have down. When you're in a situation, you have to stare the enemy down. Because if you waver, if you flinch, he's got you where he wants you to be. You got fear. False evidence of things appearing real. When God is your father, have no fear. There's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he can't overcome. You're never hopeless. Amen? David says, I'm your servant. And if you put me to shame, you're also going to be put to shame. If you let me be dishonored, you're also going to be dishonored. And Psalms 23:3, it says, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You see, God's got a stake in what we do and what happens to us. Amen? For his name's sake. Everybody wants to have a good name, even God. So he guides us along the right path. Even though David is in his great distress, he turns around and he says, he places himself in God's hands. He says, into your hand, in verse 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he says my spirit, he's talking about his life and he's talking about his soul. Isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament, David, the man that God loved, David says, God, I trust you. I commit my spirit to you. Have we heard that somewhere else before? In the New Testament, when Jesus was dying on the cross, in Luke 23 and 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, I into your hands, I commit my spirit. Sometimes we don't get things done because we don't commit our spirit to the Lord. You want to commit part of your spirit. You want to commit part of yourself. But David got delivered because he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. We got to commit our spirit to the Lord. To place oneself in God's hands, even in the face of death, is the highest form of trust. Do you trust the Lord to death? Do you place your life and your body and your soul, even to the point of death, to the Lord? I can't answer that for you, but God shows us in the script in Acts 7 and 59, while they were stoning Stephen to death, he gave these remarkable words, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't say stop them from doing whatever they're doing. He knew that they were stoning him to death. He's in the midst of being killed. He's dying. It's hurt. It's pain. And he says, I commit my spirit. Do we commit our spirit? In 1 Peter 4 and 19, it says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Why did I put that in there? Because that scripture is saying, those who suffer according to God's will. What is that saying? That it is God's will sometimes that we suffer. But if you still commit yourself to him, if you still continue to do good, that he's going to bless you. We want to be blessed when we're doing good. We don't want to be blessed sometimes because bad things are happening to us, so we revert back to form. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I guarantee you right now, if somebody hits you for no reason, you might revert back to form. Now you know what I'm talking about. Somebody steal your money, you ready to revert back to form. Somebody steal your car, you ready to revert back to form. That form is easily coming back to us. It's hard to do good in spite of circumstances. But when you commit your spirit to the Lord, it's easier to consider doing good as opposed to bad. Amen? In verses 6 through 8, David anticipates the Lord's answer to his prayer and expresses his trust in him. Do we anticipate God is going to answer our prayer? Do you anticipate that God is going to answer your prayer? I don't know what your prayer is. He knows, but do you go and pray to him and anticipate that he is going to answer it? There's a difference when you anticipate that God is going to answer and just praying because you think that he might answer. I'll give you an example. If you go to the store and you ask somebody to buy something, sometimes you anticipate that whatever you ask, you're going to get. And you feel pretty good about it when you ask for it because you know that you're going to get it. But if there's a doubt that maybe I will get it, maybe I won't, there's a queasy little feeling that you might have. Am I going to get it or am I not? Christians, children of the Lord, we should pray with anticipation that God is going to answer our prayer. when you do that and you think that and you know that, there's a difference in the way that you anticipate and there's a difference in the way that you go. The scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Do we come boldly? David is bold in the things that he's saying here, but David has someone wavering going on here, but he ends up being very bold. He says, don't let them get me. I put it in English for you. Don't let them get me, my enemies. Oh, I know my friends, they're out there, they're talking about me. How could you let them do this to me? But I know that you're going to deliver me. I know that you hear me when I pray. I know that God, you're full of grace and mercy. You've done it for me before, you're going to do it again. David anticipates the Lord's answer to his prayer and expresses his trust in him. He also affirms that he hates those who worship idols. He says, I hate those who cling to the worthless idols. As for me, I will trust in the Lord. Now, David is not expressing a personal hatred there, that he hates those associated with idol worship. He hates them in the sense that God is there and he's available. So why are you worshiping this gold donkey over here? It can't do anything for you. God is great and merciful. Why don't you accept him? And why don't you let him do what he will do for you? He'll do the petitions of your heart. He hates those who has their proud rejection of the one true God. Do you know that there's people today, even today, that are proud of their rejection of the true God? Have you ever express your Christianity to somebody, or they saw it in you, you tell them you're going to church or you're getting ready to do that, and they turn around and they say, well, I'm an atheist. They're proud to be who they are. They're proud to say, I don't care what you believe, I don't care what has happened in your life, I don't care that you say that there was a person that died and then on after 3 days on that cross after he died that he got up again. I don't care that you think. They're proud. How proud are we to be children of the Most High? David, once again, now he shifts again in verse 13 to 9. Then David shifts his eyes from God, and he starts to think about his distress. See, this is why I'm bringing this out, because I want you to understand that it's not nothing that people don't go through. We go through this. But the scripture says he shifts his eyes from God to his distress. When you shift your eyes from God to your distress, that's why you're under distress. Amen? He says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. He confesses it with his mouth. He says, my eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. His situation is so bad that even his closest friends have abandoned him. David mentions that one of the chief causes of his distress is the slander of the people. He says, Lord, no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips. That's in Psalms 12, 1 and 2. He says, there's no loyalty no more. How many years ago was David on this earth? How many times have we gone through situations and those quote-unquote friends that they're not loyal anymore? This is not a new revelation. This is old stuff. That's why when we sing that song, he's a friend of mine, God is my friend. Is he truly your friend? Do you know what a friend is? Come on. Do you know what a friend really truly is? He is a friend. But then going back in verses 14 to 18, David looks back at God again and trusts him. Do you see the unwavering? Do you see the double-mindedness? Do you see that he's looking at his problems and then he's looking at God and then he looks back at his problems? There's a reason why we're going through this, is because we're looking at our problems too much. Some people come to church because of their problems. Don't come to church with your problems. Come to praise him. Don't come here for problems. He could take care of problems outside of here. You don't need to come in here with problems. You come in here to praise him. You come in here to worship him. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? We come in here to praise him in spite of circumstances, in spite of situations, in spite of what the enemy tries to do to us. If you come in here with a problem, I pray that you leave with a praise. David looks back at God and he trusts in him. And at the same time, he calls out for help again. He says, my times are in your hands. That is, his circumstances and all the events of his life are in God's hands. I say to you today, your time is in God's hands. Every circumstance, every trial, every tribulation that you go through, it's in his hands. That's why you have to trust him. Because he's in control of everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I got to say it over here. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all in his hands. God does not always deliver us out of our earthly troubles. But he is always with us in our troubles. Being in God's hand does not guarantee you freedom from trouble, but it guarantees that the enemy will never be able to pluck you out of his hands. You know the enemy wants to pluck you out of his hands. The enemy wants to attack you. He wants to free you from God's hands. But we sing a song about God's unchanging hands. God's hands are never going to change when you're in situations. He is still there for you. He's still holding you in his hands. He's still there in times of trouble. He's still there in times of need. And the enemy's trying to pluck you out of there. The scripture says in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That is Jesus saying, nobody is going to be able to snatch anybody out of God's hands, my Father. And he says, if you come through me, you're with my Father because he and I are one. We work together. He's the Father, I'm the Son. We work together. I know that there's some people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, but he is completely telling people, I am one, we are one. You can't separate me. If you love Jesus, they can't separate Jesus and you and God. He says, we are one. And he will not let the enemy snatch you out of his Father's hands. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to snatch you from God's hands. He wants to pluck you out of the garden. He wants to take you and isolate you so you're all by yourself and you got nobody that you can depend on, where you have no friends. And when you're in that situation, the enemy will send you people who think you might think that they're your friends, and they're not. Those are the people who don't have your best interests at heart. Those are the people who keep taking from you and never giving to you. Those are the people who are always putting you in a dangerous situation. Have you ever been with a friend or somebody that every time you were around them, somehow all kind of chaos starts happening? What kind of friend is that? They can bring chaos in your personal life, on your job. They can bring chaos. Some people bring a chaos to the church if you don't watch out. This church ain't no place that there's a boundary where the trouble and all of that stuff can't come in here. That's why we got to be prayed up. Because if we prayed up, when the enemy walks in here, he'll turn around and walk on out. But if you're gullible, if you're wavering, that's why I said this morning, if you don't want to hear what I have to say, what God has told me to say to you, you better leave now. I gave you the opportunity. Because if you don't want to be here, God doesn't really want you here. Amen? God wants people to come in here and praise him, to receive the word, to receive the praise. Praise him. He inhabits the praise of his people. Amen? David says, I am in a besieged city. He's not talking about his city. He's talking about himself. He's talking about him being surrounded by his enemies. Amen? I am in a besieged city, but I thank you, God, for the love that you continue to show me, although I am surrounded by my enemies. And then in verse 23, David reaffirms his confidence, his ultimate confidence in God's justice. He says, the saints, the faithful are preserved. The proud, the ungodly, and the wicked are punished. Amen? And then he says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. I say to you this morning, be strong and take hope in the Lord. Because all of our hope is not in ourselves. All of our hope is not in ourselves. It is not our blessings that we give out. It is not in our faith. Our hope is in God alone. He is the ground and he is the basis of our hope. We don't even know what's going to happen in our lives. But because we have Jesus Christ, we have hope. Not just now in the presence, but in eternity, we have hope. There's a lot of hopelessness going out there. There's a lot of people without a home. There's homelessness going out there because those people don't have Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a home, a house you live in with a roof. I'm talking about the home that Jesus Christ is preparing for us. Amen? He said, in my house, there are many mansions. And if it were not true, I would have told you so. Amen? Being that he is God and not a man that could lie, he's saying there's a mansion, there's hope, there's a house where everybody has a room. There's room for you in his mansion. Amen? He says we don't know the outcome of our lives, but we got to be good. We know it has to be good. So I ask you this morning, how do you deal with your doubts? How do you face, and what do you do when you face situations that causes your faith to falter? I ask you, you need to, and I say to you, you should ask yourselves the following questions. Where do these doubts come from? When you're doubting, where do these doubts come from? When something's bothering you and you don't know what it is, where does it come from? Sometimes your children might do things and you want to know, well, where did this come from? I didn't see it coming. Where did it come from? The enemy puts you in situations, and you start doubting God, and you want to know where it came from. It didn't come from God. You have to ask yourself, I've been in these situations before. I've been in them time and time again. Has God ever failed me yet? I'll give you a little secret. You're here, he hasn't failed you. If you're here, he's giving you another opportunity. If you're here, you still have time. If you're here, it can still get better. If you're patient, God can work things out. But we're not patient. We're so impatient. The scripture this morning was amazing. It said, be patient. Scripture says, be patient and know that I'm God. Didn't God say that he's going to meet all your needs? Didn't he say he was going to meet your needs? Yes. Not what you want, but what you need. He is going to meet your needs. So what are you doubting him for? If you came in here doubting this morning, I pray that when you leave, there's no more doubt in your mind. Did he not give you the Holy Spirit that says he's going to send a comforter? A comforter. You know, when you go to bed and it's cold, what do you put on? You put on that comforter. He says, I will send you a comforter. So no matter what situation you're in, the comforter is always there with you. Did he not promise to be with you at all times? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake. I know people who said they'd never leave me, and they're gone. I know people who said they'd never forsake me, and they did. I know people who said they would never lie to me, and they told lie after lie after lie. I know people who wanted me homeless, penniless. But he said, I'd never leave you, nor forsake you. God is never going to leave you. He wrote it. He says, you're in my hands. The enemy cannot pluck you. You ever see a predator going after his prey? He's looking for that one that goes astray from the flock. That's the one he wants. That's the one he's going to go after. I'm saying to you, keep your mind stayed on Christ. Stay in the fold. If you're not in the fold, you need to get in it. Because the predator, the enemy, he's going after you. He wants you. He's going to surround you with his minions, his demons. He wants you. And you can't get away from him without Christ. The enemy wants to pluck you. My wife said to me this morning, he just keeps busy, doesn't he? I said, yes, he does. Scripture says he goes back and forth. Back and forth. Tirelessly. Always looking, always on the prowl, never wavering. He doesn't waver in his message, you know. He has his own assignment. He has his own thing that he wants to do with you. God got a plan for your life, but so does the enemy. Two plans in your life, two roads. Which one are you going to take? Is there not anything too difficult for God? Is there not anything too difficult for God? There's nothing difficult for God. Everything that we think is difficult, he did it already. We try to perfect our bodies. We try to get well. We try to get medicine and all of this stuff to make our bodies feel good. Amen? He made the bodies. While we're trying to get to a certain point, he did it already. And I'm sure that, well, this is just what I think. But then again, it's not what I think, because it's in the Bible. You see, he didn't put man here until he perfected the body. The scripture says we are perfect. We are perfect. But we're the ones who make things imperfect. God doesn't want you, if you're stressed this morning, God doesn't want you to be stressed. You're stressed because you're worrying. You're stressed because you're not allowing God to do what he can do. You want to take it back and do what you want to do. You're supposed to cast the care on God and let him do his business. If you got high blood pressure, that's because you're letting people take you to the top of your patience. Scripture said, be patient. Patient and patient and patient. But every time you turn around, somebody's trying your patience. Girl, he's trying my patience. Be patient. So I don't act right to my wife, be patient. She don't act right, pastor, be patient. Children don't act right, be patient. Your boss does not act right, be patient. Let the Lord do what he's going to do, because he's going to do something. He says, touch not my anointed. If you believe that you're anointed today, give the Lord a hand right now, because he's touch not my anointed. So no matter what the enemy thinks he's doing or who he's using to do it, touch not my anointed. Know that God is working in your favor. It's time for somebody to stop looking at your problem and start praising the Lord. Come on, somebody stand up and praise the Lord with me right now. Somebody give the Lord a hand right now. Somebody has to believe that God is working in your favor. that no matter how it looks today, tomorrow it's going to be a better day. Light and darkness can't be at the same place at the same time. Somewhere along the line, things are going to open up for you. But be patient and let the Lord work what he's going to work. Somebody got to get their eyes off of their problem. Somebody's got to let the Lord do what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody should be praising the Lord right now, because in his word, he's telling you right now that something good is going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wanted you to stand because I told you that I would get back to James. I told you that I would get back to James. Listen to what James said. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I say to you today, count it all joy when the enemy comes after you and he's tempting you and he's trying to do things to you. Count it all joy. Be patient and let the patience do his work. Because when you let patience do its work, you become persistent and understanding that he is God. And he's going to make everything work out for your good in spite of what you see. So stop looking at your problems and praise the Lord. If you're here this morning, and the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is not your strength. It can be your strength. Hallelujah. If you're here today and the enemy has got you wavering on some situations that God is going to take you through, you need to reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ. You got situations going on in your life that nobody can do anything about it except Christ. You need to just say, Lord, I depend on you. You are my rock and my refuge. Can you say that this morning? You are my rock and my refuge. I don't care what I'm going through. You're my rock. And we say, upon this rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You need to get and stand on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. He says, upon this rock I build my church. And I'm saying to you today, yes, that Jesus Christ is the rock.
Yes.
And if you're not standing on the rock, you need to jump on board. You need to say, Lord,
yes,
I'm in.
Yes,
Lord, I take you for my Lord and Savior. Father, I believe every word that you said. Father, I believe in your promises, because you're not a man
that
can lie.
Hallelujah.
And if you got a problem with him being a man, he's not a woman that she should lie.
Amen.
He don't have to lie. He is God and God alone. There's no one above.
No pipe in
what he can do. You need to put your faith in something that don't waver. Hallelujah. Just think about this. You take your money and you put it in the stock market and it goes up and down, and so does your emotions. But you give it to people that you have faith and you have trust that's going to give you and make you more money. But what about your life? What about the thing that you value the most? What about taking your faith and your trust and investing it in Jesus Christ? The one who says, I'm here today, I'll be here tomorrow and forevermore. When everybody walk out, he stays in. Put your hands in the hand of the man. The man who stilled the water. If you don't know him today, make that decision. Don't be unwavering. Don't think that just because you come to church that you're all right. You have to confess it with your mouth. You have to acknowledge him that who he is, and what he is to you. Acknowledge that he died on that cross and rose the third day. If you don't know the Lord today, why don't you come? If you need a renewal of your relationship with him, why don't you come?